And I was telling him, but I found that what he had to say was interesting because he was living in Hollywood, and he's very tuned into the social life there at the time. And so the cell phone was wrecking everybody's social life. Now, that's exactly a topic of media ecology's interest, my interest. So I enjoyed talking to James because he would tell me what was happening in L.A. with the new technology. So I would use that stuff. And when we get on to doing radio in 2008, that's what we did every week. He'd tell some story about some cell phone or thing in L.A., and you know, I'd sort of interpret it. And that's what we did for the first year until Ian showed up. We didn't even talk much about coal. He didn't even talk about coal fusion that first year or so with John Stadtmiller. You can go back and hear the shows on my timeline, you'll see. It wasn't until Cosmic Media. What is the name of that Regina site? It's got a big name.
Somebody help. I can't remember. It was like that. Cosmic.
Yeah. Consciousness.
She's in L.A.
Yeah,
she and her husband.
Yeah.
You know, and she's moved on to do work with Gaiam. She's gotten big again.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's those guys.
Arena.
That's those idiots that...
Yeah.
James,
yeah,
the guy we did, James Wagner, Jay somebody. You know, Jay guy.
Wiedner?
Yeah, so he probably took the pick of that world, that genre, including Regina, and took them over to Guyan, because he's executive programmer or something there now.
Yeah, it's just marketing.
And they won't have us on. Not that we need to be on there, I mean, but they avoid us. They should be smart enough to know that we have the energy to talk for fucking 20 hours a night and all this other stuff that none of them can do. They should, but of course we're a threat to them. We'll put them out of work if they actually took it seriously what we said. So anyways, what was it? Cosmic Media, Universal Consciousness, something like that.
Cosmic awareness?
No, that was. So he was getting interviewed on that, and he said, what do I talk about? I said, talk about coal fusion.
Thank God.
So I had to debrief him, and I told him to get in touch with Edmund Storms, and he did. He became friends with Storms, and then he met all these other guys through Storms. So it was a fatic adventure I sent him on because he wouldn't deal with Ion.
Wow. Well, look where he is now. Hopefully happy.
Yes. Invisible. Inaudible and invisible. So back to Melody or Greg. Did you want to say something more, Greg? Maybe he's they get knocked off.
No, sorry, I just try to make sure I was off mute if it's dark in the room, so I wasn't sure if I was hitting the right button. Yeah, the Evergreen said in a session that a friend of mine had, they said, the mind has become an outdated technology. This was 20 years ago, maybe, you know, 12, 13 years ago. But realize in the same understanding, the Evergreens were all about the subconscious. So get rid of the word subconscious, use non-physical. So the Evergreens, even back then, were steering people away from using the mind. And Ion has, from, you know, the very beginning of time, said, it's your knower. And, you know, there's a lot of disciplines out there that have said, fake it till you make it. And one way of starting that is Bob's philosophy, speak, talk, say the words. And get away from feeling more than or even less than. Yeah, my mind...
Practice speaking.
Yeah, how many times a month in the last couple of years I've said, thank God I'm not my mind?
Right.
Because the crazy-ass scenarios that come into my head, and I just have to let them, like water on a duck's back, flow through.
If the mind had any reality, Greg, as Ian says, we would have destroyed the universe a long time ago.
And ourselves.
And ourselves.
And now, and I'm watching
my
son.
If I listen to my mind, McLuhan used to say, if I listen to my critics, I would have slipped my throat a long time ago.
Absolutely.
But there's another point there. The Evergreens are the one who got me on to coal fusion, because that happened in March 23rd or so, 1989, and Michael had a public session about within 7 days after that date in Toronto, and I went to it. Hotel Plaza, one of those big hotels, and his opening statement was, we've really reached a big milestone. That invention that was on the news the other day, that is going to be huge. And nobody could say that, but Michael could, because the Evergreens told him. So from that point on, I got into the coal fusion. It was thanks to the Evergreens.
That was the two British scientists, right, who were starting
Pons
the experiment.
Well, one of them lives grew up near Youngblood, down near J.W.'s place, Atlanta, Georgia. That's where Pond, whoever Stanley is, I forget who's who. Yeah, Martin Fleischmann, Stanley Pond. So Pond is a guy near where Loveblood lives now, and the home, the family. Loveblood posted, or Youngblood.
And in the scientific community, the Evergreens had said on many occasions that the observer affects the observed. We get that. Chemicals that would not bond together 25 years ago now bond perfectly well. Same chemical, same purity, same environment, same atmosphere.
You know what? I'm getting thoughts right now. I'm channeling right now that Ian is telling us that with the ice cell mat, you don't influence. It's new. It's not the quantum principle anymore, the principle of whatever it's called, uncertainty or something.
Oh.
The observer affecting
the observer.
We don't. It's come here. We woke it up for it to massage us. It's massaging the world with the ice cell. And it's not dependent on our opinion about it or whatever subjective thing that principle, quantum principle, is referring to. This is probably a new statement, never said before. Those laws don't apply to the ion effect.
Right. Only what the ice cell could do for you or what RNA drops can do for you can still be affected by your mind. Oh, this shit won't work. No,
well, you
I don't
noticed.
Feel anything.
Yeah, you. It could change you and probably would change you, and eventually you would have to acknowledge it, but you can resist it for a while perceptually. You can think you're not noticing anything.
Don't you think that part of the issue there is that the observation is based on a visual bias? So
right. Yeah, that's
you
eyeball.
Know, what you were seeing changes.
That's an eyeball.
Yeah.
All of 20th century physics is visual, is visual space, the visual tradition, trying to match with non-visual phenomena, beginning with electricity.
And there was a woman
very
on the
limiting.
Show 6 or 8 months ago who said that, you know, I've been taking the drops and I looked at myself in the mirror and I was not embarrassed to look at myself and I actually found myself pretty and I was getting prettier. And was it her mind seeing herself differently? She, you know, faking it till you make it, or her body really changing from the RNA drops. Well, it doesn't matter what it was. She allowed herself to see herself in a new light.
Right.
And I think that's what the power of RNA is it takes away those previous biases. I mean, we know that James Martinez woke up one day and went, oh, my God, where's my fucking arthritis?
Right.
He didn't even remember the last time he had it. And
it's
Sue
like
Bone.
You're kind of changed. You become a new person.
Sue Bone wakes up in Europe and goes, where the hell's my jet lag? Holy shit. I can't even remember when I last time had jet lag. That's the beauty.
Hey, Greg,
the,
3 years later, I wake up and said, where the fuck did this numbness come from? In my elbow. Fucking elbow. 50-year-old injury comes back. Or the numbness from it, which is the synaptic nerves, whatever you call them, pathways being healed.
Sure.
Corrected or aligned or something.
I'm going to interject here. Conscious Media Network with Regina Meredith, just for the
Conscious
record.
Conscious Media, yes, not Cosmic Media. Conscious Media Network.
Yeah.
Regina who?
Okay. Meredith.
Meredith, right.
Like a first name Meredith? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, done. That's over.
Right.
So your elbow's good now?
No, it's still numb. It's been numb for a year. It's gone through all kinds of weirdness, and I just got some new assistance on it last night from Ion on what to do, where I can put the renew.
They're being very, very helpful with specific injuries that I don't remember that occurring before, you know, quite the same way.
Well,
it was more relax and allow. But,
right. Well, yeah. You mean in this public performance he's doing?
Yes.
Yeah. No, he didn't do it in public. He did in private sessions, but he's not giving private sessions, so he's doing the private sessions right here.
Well, that's true. That's true. But see, it has a more of a specific skeletal kind of, you know, again, specification. This is what you want to do. It's your L3. Maybe he used to do that in private sessions. I don't know.
He did.
Oh, okay.
Okay. People saying, when do we start getting private sessions? I basically say, you're not going to get them. You do them on this show. And everybody should be all lined up and doing all their neuroses, whatever they want to be private about, do it right here.
Well, they were probably working on the fact that you said don't say anything personal.
Well, I didn't know Ian would do this.
Well, they're coming out now.
Yeah, and, you know, after a while, I don't know, I might get ornery if everybody just comes in to do personal stuff. You got to fool Ion. You got to pretend you're interested in reality a bit. So you ask him abstract questions about 8302 or something, then he goes on about, and then when he's vulnerable, you slip in a personal point.
Yeah, I wanted to ask Ion about the horse today, California Chrome,
who
ran the... No, it didn't. And there's, of course, hindsight, you know, did the jockey slow the horse down a little bit, this and that. So I wanted to ask, you know, could this horse have won if the jockey had just let it run and see what I would say. But,
well,
you know,
when he comes back, ask him when he comes back. I mean,
I will.
It's not like I want to do this. I hope
will
when he comes back.
Of course. But the thing I'm also want to mention is this is about the fourth or the fifth, Belmont Stakes, Kentucky Derby, and the Preakness, where a no-name horse, I mean, this horse, who now is worth, $20 million, it cost the owners $10,000 to put the horse together.
Let Greg finish his sentence, for fuck's sake. Yeah, what were you saying, Greg?
You know, this is about the fourth or the fifth of the Triple Crown races where a no-name horse that cost beer money has come and won two of the three. So
and
these people who have...
36 years, I read last night, but nobody gets to the three anymore.
36 years and a horse. Yeah. Three guys went in and bought for $5,000 and won it.
The person
right.
who...
they don't seem to have the gall. They don't have the training to go three, though, Greg.
Well, interesting point that the owner of this... a horse brought up as he was being interviewed where his horse lost. He went right into the camera and he said, these people who are bringing their horse to this last race skip the middle race and then ruin any chance for a horse to have a Triple Crown because they're not running the horse in all three races. And he said it's cowardly for these owners to do that. Blah,
right,
blah, blah.
He's whining. He's whining. These
he was whining.
The amateur guy.
But it was an extremely good point, Bob.
Greg.
It was still a very good point.
Who come in with a $5,000 horse have not had the background of the aristocratic sensibility, and it gets over their head when they win two races, and they don't know how to be in the third race, so they start making up excuses like that.
That's also a mile and a half.
It was still a very good point. It was still a very good point. So I wanted to ask Ion about that this horse, which is non-physical, is governed by
the example. He's worrying about that before the race, and he affected the horse.
Exactly. It's his expectation. It's his bias being put onto his non-physical horse where he's realizing, he's feeling that there's a condition.
Right. Hey, Greg, it's only interesting for us, the voyeuristic spectators. Oh, there's another pattern I can play with my mind, but he shouldn't have said anything about it because he affected, and I bet you he didn't have that reason. He had that reason before the race because I don't think he thought it up in 20 minutes before he had to be interviewed. You know what I mean? So
right.
he already had to think about that factor and worried about it.
He looked angry. He looked really angry, didn't he, Greg?
Yeah.
He was really upset.
Oh, he was very upset.
Oh, my God.
Disappointed.
Yeah.
That's another
probably
thing.
The
he
worst.
Wasn't doing for fun. He fucking thought he had to win. You know, see, the amateurs.
Well, it was about him. It was about him. He said, "I'm 61 years old, and I'm never going to get another chance to do this because of your fucking rules."
Statement.
He didn't say that.
He didn't deserve to win. You got to come up with Ion dogma if you're going to win. They're not. Ion's not letting anybody on the media to be a victor. Nobody's going to win an Oscar or nothing unless you have the right words. There's a new rule right there. Bob, lockdown Bob rule. You don't fucking know how to talk when you get the camera on you. You're not going to be allowed on the camera. So they better fucking come here and go through a 3-year training program of how to speak right when you get your Oscar. The new dogma.
What was the thing last time? The now age? The now age.
Yeah,
not the new age.
Age.
The
we
now
have
age.
No age. No, we don't have any age.
Oh,
yeah, no age.
The no age.
Well, Greg, didn't you see though too that donkey does not do well when the horse is behind three or four horses like that? They showed about 8 or 9 races that the jockey for Chrome was had run before this, and if he gets stuck behind a line of horses like that, he never runs the horse, right?
Right.
I did hear that.
You
get
all kinds of crap. I mean, any top...
Well, that's a good excuse.
Right. Any top entertainer does not listen to the media. does not read reviews. Dylan, all these guys, they don't listen to Lady Gaga. I don't think she reads reviews. You can't pay attention to anybody. That's you got to act like there's no one in the world. You're all by yourself. How do you think I got to this position? Do you think I listened to any? I read all the shit. I could read it, but I didn't fucking believe it because I had the all-purpose way of analyzing it. I had incomprehensible five-bodied media ecology model to say to people that, and I got interviewed and said all that stuff, and nobody understood it, you know, for 25 years. Yeah. And suddenly, as I said in my little celebration of Carolyn and our anniversary, I gave a little history, there I was saying, well, Carolyn's on the media, and I'm sitting there and trying to say, well, maybe I should go on the media. Okay, I'll go on. What'll I talk about? I don't know. I'll just fucking make it up. And I did have stuff ready to talk about, so I just started talking.
Yeah.
You're
came
a great
true, and it all came true.
it all came true. Yeah.
True.
Because I didn't know what I was talking about. I was talking to the angels, probably. Yeah, what, Allison?
I was just going to say, you're by yourself, and you're with everybody. Anybody, everybody, anyone that will engage you. But you're
That's
totally
right.
by yourself.
I am known as a great listener.
Yeah.
The people don't know there's nobody home listening.
That's Susanna.
Yeah, well, that's my main woman, right? I heard you guys talking,
yeah.
you and Sheila, about my great love affair with Susanna. Pillow talk with Susanna. You can't
exactly.
wait another 5 hours. People have 5 or 6 hours from now. But the what did you just say? You said something interesting. I don't know what was the thought before Susanna.
The dichotomy that you were alone, and no, it's probably Greg.
Yes,
what did Greg say beforehand?
Basically, all you do is listen to people. I mean, listen. You don't have to believe them, but they never had anybody notice what they're saying, repeat it back to them, so they know that you heard what they said. That's rule number one. You acknowledge what they said, and then you start saying stuff that they can't understand. And then they think they have a great experience because you listen to them.
Yeah, but the interesting thing now, I find, when I do that, they don't hear. They're not caring about the fact that I heard what they said anymore. They couldn't give a shit. They're like,
well, that's it. That's
what?
A good point. The world has changed in a way. I mean, all that CKLN stuff is before the flood, so to speak. Yeah, people were different.
Right.
Now they're all suicidal. You know, 90% of them, they're all going to die. And it's hard to find a 1%er that's interested in what you're saying.
Or interested in hearing that you heard what they said. That's the crazy part.
The way you are, you're such a know-it-all, though. I think you need to cut back on whatever you're emanating to them.
Hey,
listen, Allison. Here's the other thing, the advantage you had. Nobody knew what I was talking about. So I sounded like a nut. So the little people said, well, this guy's an idiot. I can go on there. I will look smarter than him because he's such an idiot. And they come on and they start talking because I made them think they were smarter than me. You got to do that.
I love it.
You don't shine the flashlight of your knowledge in their eyes.
But... yes, both and when you listen to them and they are like looking at you like, why are you listening to me?
Yeah.
You get the impression that they know that they're full of shit.
That's right. They'll talk themselves out. They can't go 20 hours. They can't go 10 minutes. They don't have much
10
to
minutes.
Say. Yeah.
Yeah.
They go 10 minutes and then they're all exhausted or hoping you have something to say. And then you've got an open field. You start telling them the fucking facts.
I think they're amazed that you actually gave them the platform to listen for a few minutes,
yeah.
and then they don't know what to do with it. They're just like, what? No, that's not how it works. You try to talk over me, and you know everything, and you don't think that I know anything.
That's so, right. That's the big mistake. Well, how I shock people out of that is by calling them up. Every INET gets called by Bob Neverett, and they can't believe it. You called me on my phone. I got flabbergasted.
That's true.
That's true.
I was flabbergasted. Like, you were going to call me. Nah. I got a call. Like, oh, my gosh.
Yes, I get the call from Obama. What, President Obama, why are you calling me? Well, we're interested in your opinion, Bill. You know, we're having a lot of trouble here at the White House. You know, Dobbstown in the lead here laughing at us. We need any help we can get. Have you got any?
The last time Bob did that to me, I told you so many things you couldn't give a shit about for like 45 minutes. I was so aghast. It was like talking to Ion. And I knew Bob. I knew you pretty well by then. Like, oh my God, he's never going to call again. It was
what, because
so painful.
I didn't get, what'd they do? I told you 45 minutes worth of bad stuff? Is that what you just said?
No. I told you the whole story about the horse dying in the thunderstorm.
Oh, yeah. So you thought I wouldn't be.
Oh my God. It was so boring. And I was like, oh, what just happened? I had no idea what just happened. It was so funny.
You know, it's conversation is the easiest art form. It's the easiest drug. You know, I've got here 20, 21 hours to survive each day or to fill in. So I don't mind talking to people. They just talk and blabber away. It's ear candy, you know. Help spend the time. So I don't give a damn what you're talking about, but I enjoy the fact you're talking.
Most people don't even know how to hold a conversation, though.
What?
Most people don't even know how to hold a conversation anymore.
That's right.
If you're not texting them, they don't know how to react.
That's right. You got
That's
all these
what
young
I found
kids.
Anyway.
Yeah, all these young kids. I don't know, 25 and under. You know, they're missing Dobbstown. They'll all die probably pretty quickly. There's too much in their chip body.
If they could text in and text each other, that's part of Dobbs.
No, I'm not typing. That's work. It's easy to flap the tongue.
So what do you mean by can't hold a conversation? They can't respond to, or they can't listen, or both?
Both. I mean, they don't know what to talk about. They don't know how to express themselves. If it's not a one-liner that they can just spit at you, then it's done. It's over.
isn't that a sign of being offended if you're in your own world and you're just in your own world?
Yeah, but not when you engage another god. You try to connect with them just for the fun of it.
Pathetic communication.
Yeah.
Communion, right?
I mean, a good example of a texter in dupes is Mark D. Nobody understands what Mark's saying. He just, you know, makes a little text. You know, what the hell does that mean? Right, Mark? He's right now, he's re-listening to the first 2 hours of music. He's so into the music.
Although his texts are becoming more what he's saying, something's happening to me that I'm understanding a little more of what he's saying.
No, I think you're right. He is slow. You're right. I've noticed they almost make sense. And I think that's because he's realized I'm not responding. I'm assuming I'm important. He's looking for my response. He addresses them to me. I don't respond. So he's starting to notice and improve what he's doing so he can get me to respond.
Is this on dupes, you mean?
Yeah.
That kind of stuff? Or
Yeah, on dupes. Well, he posts a lot. He comments on every thread just about.
Mm-hmm.
He stops everything.
He had some interesting things to say about your interview with that professor.
Oh, has that been posted today? I have not been there today.
No, well, posted a couple of days, two or three days ago.
Yeah, you replied, Bob.
Yeah, you did.
Well, he said one sentence which was pretty incomprehensible. Yeah, it was great that he listened to it, but I don't know what he said. What did I say? Oh, great, thank you. No, I told him where he can go get some more. I don't know if he knows about Dobbstown.com.
Yeah.
I said, there's a whole bunch more here.
Yeah.
And he didn't tell me whether he did know. See, that'd be the relevant thing. When I post Dobbstown, he says, oh, no, Bob, I've listened to them all. Or, oh, I didn't know that. But he doesn't tell me a basic point based on what I asked him.
But he was very complimentary, saying how you outshone the professor.
Well, it was a bit awkward. I don't get really. He said, "I wore my clown hood well." You know, he had some phrase. I had my clown hood on, and I don't think I had my clown hood on. What happened is that when we finally come around to me trying to talk about what I was interested in telling him, he thought I was a fucking nut. He finally said, "What the hell are you talking?" And I was doing straight McLuhan with him, and he was a student of McLuhan in '62, when the year McLuhan started to be famous, and he's happy he was part of that, and he's an expert supposedly in McLuhan. I started saying what I thought was McLuhan stuff to him, and he says, "You sound like a fanatic." It's funny how it ends.
I'm looking at the post. It's funny.
Yeah, you want to read it?
Sure. It starts out, it says, Bob, at the end, which I want to hear more of these talks with these types of people, period. I was shocked that when you talked about the media as the message, and you mentioned that the media is a cultural aspect, and you listened and you listed games, etc., and he said that you were just throwing out words. You are right. It is a total cultural event. I don't understand how he cannot see this. And he says that you don't recognize some things, question mark. You are way too far ahead of the living teachers who have taught for 20-plus years. That was in quotes. What an embarrassing statement that a teacher says he has been teaching for 20-plus years and keeps creating crap for decades. Even though you like to read these guys, they are off the mark. I did enjoy some of the dialectic. The Marx stuff is interesting. Capital M-A-R-X. Also, he does not understand McLuhan in the aspect that the past is relevant to the structure radicalization of the present new environment. I guess I have to forgive him because he underestimates your clownhood. All the people you have talked to is not knowable to really anyone.
Yeah, now what does that mean?
What does that mean? That's a funky one.
Yeah, he should be on here, and we grill him about what that sentence. I'm interested in what the sentence means, but I can see it goes two or three ways there. I don't know what it means really. What he thinks he means.
Yeah,
but here's the thing.
A lot of that.
Entire message
now, here,
is pretty clear.
Not really, because here, if I had Leon Surrett dedicated his life work to Marsh McLuhan. He was a McLuhanite. He's a professor. He's retired. He's 85 years old or something. And his whole life was talking about McLuhan. But you can't be a McLuhanite as a professor. You got to cover all kinds of ideas. But he was a closet McLuhanite, and he's done a new book trying to use McLuhan in the history of machinery. And he would find Mark. He wouldn't even acknowledge what Mark just wrote, because he'd say, this kid doesn't know that I'm an expert on McLuhan. So Mark would have to really know a bit about McLuhan to begin to ask, what was the difference between what Bob was saying and what he was saying? You know, he's making too much of a judgment of the guy. Mark is judging too quickly what's going on there. I mean, I knew what I was doing. I knew I was trying to see if he could see something. And basically I said the medium is the message. The word medium refers to the past. He'd never heard it that way, and he immediately couldn't get it, you know, and he wasn't going to go for it. And that's after we talked to him for an hour. And that was also the context. He thinks I'm interviewing him, you know. He's not there to entertain any new ideas. He's there to get his idea out there. So there's all kinds of factors in these talks that I'm aware of, and I don't care if they get bogged down, you know, because there's too many factors involved.
Isn't this another example, Bob, of it's almost like science. We're looking at what you're saying and coming from a bias or from a comparison position to what we know or what we've heard or what we've experienced already.
Yes, like the clown. I do not wear a clown hood. I wear an expert ESP hood. I know a lot of... He is an outcast in Pound studies. He's an expert on Ezra Pound and the modernists. And he's written a lot of good books which prepare people for those modernists' interest in Ion. And I have my own agenda of getting involved with them. And none of his books are sold. Academia won't acknowledge him, even though he's an honored professor. And he asked me to put a review. I'm getting reviews on his books. So I read each book and read it and put a neat review on there. And I praised the guy to the hilt. And then all with the intention of eventually having a dialogue with him. And but I did a lot of work preparing for it. No fucking clown hood, you know what I mean? I have a media ecology hood, or I have an expertise of who I'm dealing with. A guy who's not been recognized all his life, and here's his last chance, some fringe nobody is going to interview him and put a review. He has to be put on a pedestal a bit. You know what I mean? He's never been acknowledged. So I'm trying to acknowledge him, and I shut up for the first hour and a half or whatever. Then at the end, I started to sneak something, my thing, my agenda, and it didn't get very far. He stopped the conversation pretty quickly.
Because of his agenda?
Yes, because he wasn't taking anything in. He was just having himself being shown. It's not that he requires celebrity, but the part of him, the inner child that wants to be acknowledged for what he did. And we talked a lot about his colleagues, how they ignore him. We laughed about it. He told me stories about it. So it's there. He hasn't gotten that satisfied. And so then Ed Long puts a picture up of him, I can't, I don't know where they get that picture. I don't know if it is him. I've never seen that picture. And I intend to, I sent it to Leon. I intend to call him and see if that is his picture. But it's many decades ago. Leon's 85 years old or so. Very.
Well, how often do you really talk to anybody anymore that doesn't have their own agenda?
I'm the only one who dares to go in and find out if they have an agenda or not. Everybody else knows everybody else has an agenda. That's the Matrix 2 part of reality day. The chip body's made everybody an expert.
Yeah.
And a solipsist. And all quadriphenic aspects is what everybody is. I'm the only one who dares, like Freud, to go into the jungle and talk to the monsters.
Or who will call an INET, and then the INET goes off on all the things they want to tell you.
Yeah, which is always fun. I mean, I've talked to so many people the last 40 years. I'm like Carolyn. I have a whole repertoire of acoustic experiences gone into my brain.
Mm-hmm.
And that's another reason why IM picked us. We were the most interested people around. I mean, they had no choice. I mean, they come to the Earth. There's only two people standing there. They don't know there's 7 billion people here. And that's why Adam says they're all from a parallel world. He says, you guys never made anybody here. You're too fucking incompetent. You couldn't have made any population. Everybody came to the only two people here, Adam and Eve, Bob and Connie. Okay, we'll talk to them. How's that
for
you? Here, I better check to see who's been blocked here, because people go off the line, they get knocked off. Oh yeah, look, okay, so did you want to say something, Greg? Did we finish your point?
Fuck you, that honey bun. Not me, fine, not your ass, though.
Who are you talking to?
What?
Honey, is that Ginny flying off the handle again, Greg?
No, it's not coming from our end, Bob. I don't know who that was.
Honey bun. Yeah, I don't mind. You can speak up, whoever honey bun is. Yeah, talk it out. Let's hear more.
Yeah.
Can I say one quick thing, Bob?
Well, no, look, someone else said hello. Just
please,
else
please. A fireside
chat.
Well,
hold it. You're blocking the person. We want to have a new voice. Just hold it. We'll get back to you. Go ahead, whoever the other person was.
Hello?
Go. Speak.
Yes, you're reading. Are you guys
here? Yes, you can have a reading in about 2 minutes. Right.
Oh, okay.
Here.
Is that enough? You guys, it was just the phone, or people were just talking, or was it a radio station?
We're all three and more.
We're not sure. We're not sure. Either.
You better start your private reading right now. Go.
Better rip, Peter Chip.
You don't have one?
There we go again.
Let's play that. Okay, Allison, what do you want to say, Allison? We'll come back to this person. But
the base level of ascension is penis power. That's right under Dr. Carolyn Dean's photograph on Ion and Bob's blogspot.
Is that right?
That's what I was going to say. Yeah, it's great. The All base right. level of ascension is penis power. That's what I wanted to say. There we go.
Okay,
fireside chat.
Right. Okay. Let's.
That's the fireside chat is penis power. Oh, we'll have to wait if she goes to bed for all that.
Yeah, but the person who said, "Do you ask if we do sessions right now?" Here's Ion. Speak.
Here we go.
Address you.
You call us forth. Let's go. Vamanos.
Hello. You're talking to me.
Hello. Yes, we're talking to you.
Yes, hello. I was calling to see if you guys could do a medium or
we're large. Extra large. We're great biggie.
Okay.
We're not no puny medium. This is your medium. You're talking to him.
Okay. Well,
message.
Okay.
Are you the one who called in 4 years ago that we were warned about?
No.
Are you the great beast come forth to slay Bob?
Did you bring forth the Gutenberg galaxy? Are you the one who broke the printing press and made Lyndon LaRouche hate the queen? Are you the one that really got Lyndon Lewis stirred up and really got T.S. Eliot all crossways with all the ones that came forth since the big boys decided to start writing?
Yeah, no, I don't think she is. Go ahead, ask your questions. You are talking to a quote medium.
Well, yes, I have gotten something. Somebody had stole something from me, and I don't know where she's at.
She's behind a preposition.
And she had just had puppies, and somebody's had sold her.
Yeah, she's behind a preposition. It was what Ian just said. Behind a preposition. Think about what he said to you.
Somebody had stolen my dog from the yard, and I don't know who it was. This is the dog that got stolen.
Well, ask Ion where it is. Go, ask. Where is my dog?
I asked him.
Yes, he's the one you want to... That's, come on now. I know this is all strange for you. You never expect you'd be dead and go to paradise like this, but you are here. Now ask your question.
I don't know. I'm asking you guys.
Well, that's who we are. Ian, tell her where the damn dog is and let's move on.
The dog pound.
Yeah, dog pound. Dog pound. Get a cab, get in your car, go down to the dog pound. There you are. You got that?
Ion is a comedian medium.
Yeah.
No. The dog is at the dog pound. It's picked up.
It's got picked up, lady. You got your answer. You got any other more important questions?
Who is Peanut?
Somebody should call me that.
No, nobody told us that. This guy's got ESP. Who's Peanut? Hey, Bill, is this one of your friends, one of your relatives, Bill? Have you brought in one of your relatives here to bug eye on?
No, that's a probability that after so many calls, probability says that this will occur, Bob. It's a probability issue.
I get you. Yeah, I get it. Happened 4 years ago with that woman. Remember her.
That woman, yeah.
Yeah, the young woman on welfare, juvenile delinquent. And she was saved.
Hey, Yeshki.
Okay, well...
Hey, Ion.
Hey!
listen, I think what's happening is in my travels, I'm drinking a lot of water, and then I come back into this world, and I've got to pee in this world from the water I'm drinking in the other worlds. Is that correct?
No. Actually, what's happening is you're handling water different. You're handling water different, and we can prove it. Take that big glass of a nice red and let it sit, let it breathe, and go about halfway and just let it sit. Just let it breathe. I know it's a chore. Well, if you pull the cork, you're ready to go, but just let it breathe for a little bit and let the tannin sort of build up in the top of the glass and then drink about half of it. Drink about half of it and then don't drink any more until you gotta go pee. And watch the difference, because you're going to go, wait a second, if I drink about half, no, I normally don't have to go to finish the glass, rah, 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 rah. Drink about half of it and see what happens. But it's not water from other worlds. Not water from other worlds. You consume normal, but you're processing fluids differently. When you're away, your environment is very different than it is when you're at home.
Okay.
When you're at home, your environment is, it's more precise. It doesn't change. So that's a good thing. But when you're traveling, you're up against all kinds of crazy stuff. And you may consume more water, but it's not about that. You're not peeing from other worlds. You're peeing from this world, but you're processing water because of your travel differently.
Okay. Very cool. Okay. Because of the travel, the water, that's why I'm seeing the difference.
Your body is looking for a different kind of water.
Right.
It's craving it.
Yeah, just for
Kenny,
you know,
Kenny Bell told you that already. Kenny Bell told you that already.
Sure, she's told me everything already. No, I noticed the difference. Sometimes I wake up and it's as if I've drank in 3 gallons of water before I went to bed, and I'm like, where the hell is all this coming from? Right.
Yeah. No, and that's right. And well, here's exactly where it's coming from. In early days, You are all excited about your new vicissitudes, and you told us, or we asked you, if you indeed wished to pee like into a racehorse, and you said yes. So, welcome to that world.
And the day he calls up talking about racehorses, it comes together there, Greg.
That's right. That's perfect. That's perfect. Could California Chrome have, did that horse have enough to win the Belmont Stakes? As in,
that horse did have enough. That horse did have enough, but it wasn't about the track, it was about the length. Horses that run the Belmont Stakes are a different kind of breed. The horse who won Belmont Stakes had never even raced before. But it's because of a long run. It's mile and a half, mile and a quarter, that many furlongs is different. A different type of horse runs it. See, that horse that runs the Belmont Stakes wouldn't have done anything at the Derby. It'd be stretching out. And the Derby's over.
That's right. By the time the horse gets warmed up. Yeah. So that horse that did win was bred with a longer stride for a mile and a half track. Okay. Very good. Very good.
That's what happens. But it wasn't the breathe right strip. So, but now isn't it interesting that everybody got the breathe right strip? Everybody's lacking oxygen. Nobody can get it. Everybody's trying to get a little man's trying to even put them on the damn horses now. For Pete's sake. The strips. And everybody at the Belmont got them to breathe right. It was quite a PR campaign. It was pretty delightful. But the reason that everybody's using them breathe right strips is they're trying to open it up more because, once again, it is scientifically proven that there is a reduction of oxygen on the planet. As we know it.
Ion, did the guy, the coach, the boss, the owner, did his attitude affect the horse? His complaint?
Not this horse. No, not this horse.
Very good. One more question. My son, Austin, is traveling, obviously, a lot, and occasionally he wakes up soaked in sweat more than he could possibly even experience from running a marathon. You got an overlay for him on
his pituitary is kicking in, and he's jumping. It's just he's going through the stretches. He's running hot.
Gotcha. Just normal body growing stuff.
No, I don't know about all that. We don't know about it. We didn't say all that. Not so normal. That's a lot. I mean,
say more about the pituitary.
Well, it's kicking in, and it's starting to sort of shift a little bit. And because he is in an unusual environment, too, it's more enhanced.
Very good.
Yeah, so Ion, that guy, the coach of California Chrome, whatever, he had all these ideas that...
You mean the owner?
Yeah, whoever Greg was telling us was complaining and was angry that Taurus lost, and he was complaining about the different kinds
of horses. That's the owner.
Yeah, was his perception accurate about why the horse lost?
No.
So what he was saying, he did not know enough about the length of Belmont to understand what you just pointed out. He doesn't know enough about the game.
Yeah, no, it's just phatic.
He was being phatic with the reporter.
Oh, yeah.
Well, it was after the race, Bob, so he was just feeling less than because the guy whose horse did win did not run the Preakness, so the horse had supposedly longer time
to
rest.
That's the wrong fact.
Agreed.
He doesn't seem to know that it's the length of the field that is the factor.
Well, Espinoza didn't even think he would anyway.
Who's that, the jockey, Espinoza?
Mm-hmm.
And so you're saying the jockey knew the horse wouldn't get it?
Yeah.
If Ion was a jockey, is this horse the jockey's non-physical? You know how the non-physical is the animal to our perception or for us?
It is sometimes. It was in 1998 with Real Quiet. and it was with Alice Sheba in 1987.
It was what? It was what?
The jockey was the horse's non-physical.
Right.
Smarty Jones
in 2004.
So is the beast always a reflection of our non-physical on some level?
Of course. Anything without a soul is. Yes. And then it can pick up on you. Your soul, your stenographer, is so grand that your beast will pick that up. We do that. That's why y'all fault us. You fault us. And now we can do all kinds of fun stuff. We can do all kinds of stuff because of you. We couldn't do that before, but we can now. You want to try? You want to see?
Yeah.
Want to try? Come on. We're going to knock this one out of the park.
What was the name of that movie? What was that called?
I'm just going to say, help me understand so there's a beast in my realm.
If you can get your head under it, you can probably get under it. And once you get all the way under it, don't do that, and you will bump your head. It's always your least.
Okay.
You hit yourself in the head with a hammer. But you can get your head under there, the rest of you probably will go. Then slowly come up and then stand as hard as you can, and then you can understand it.
That's the healed version of understanding.
I looked up Smarty Jones, and Ion's right. He did win in 2004. So anybody who didn't look it up and thought Ion was making it up, he didn't. He got right on that fact.
Oh, there's a fact? Oh, Lord, there's a fact? Oh, no, sorry. We weren't feeling it fact. Just the fact, man.
Okay, if somebody wants to say something.
Smarty Jones is the last horse that undid the Triple Crown for another horse.
Well, he won the first two and he lost the third.
Smarty Jones did?
Smarty Jones won the first two and came second and third.
Oh, okay, so that was the horse that had the last time that...
No, Big Brown was the last time in 2008.
Was that the last horse that had won two and was set to win the
Triple
Crown and did it?
Big Brown in 2008, yes.
But Ryan, which physical person influences the non-physical horse? Whoever is the strongest? I mean, why was it the jockey and not the owner? I'm just curious.
The jockey has more of a residual connection than the owner. The owner owns it, okay? Let's do it this way. You own your slaves, don't you?
Yes.
Okay. But you own your slaves, but the one who actually tends to your slaves has a closer connection to the slaves themselves. So just like Pharaoh and the Jews of the day, the Pharaoh didn't have a great connection, but Joseph, who was also very Jewish in the house of Potiphar, was over the slaves. He was their hookup, and he didn't own the slaves, but he had more of a connection with the Jews than Pharaoh did. But Pharaoh owned the Jews.
Israel. Okay, is there someone else who wants to ask a question? Because is that Bert?
Yeah, I want to ask something.
Okay.
Ion, this is Renee. You said something about.
Hey, darling.
And
yes.
This lady, when I was a teenager, used to call me Peanuts. Is she trying to give me a message? Because she probably
yes.
gone.
Yes. He's long gone, honey.
What does she have to say to me?
Run your race.
Ah! She's right. It's time. And am
yeah,
I
it's time.
Yeah, and I'm trying to change the things that I did manifest that I don't like. Am I going to be able to succeed before my birthday?
You certainly may.
Any
yeah,
ideas how I can...
it's not written in stone, Renee.
Oh, yes,
in stone.
But, No, but is there any suggestions that you would advise me on anything that I haven't thought of already?
Sometimes you are more careful to argue for your limitations than you are to embrace your possibilities.
Yes, sometimes I do that.
And so that slows you down in your process.
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead. Hello, go ahead.
Hello.
Yeah.
Speak. This is Noemi. How's everybody?
What's your name?
Lovely, thank you.
Noemi, how you doing? I know you.
Yes, I'm good. I have a question for Ion.
Well, start doing it. Don't do any intros.
Okay. It's a question about change in the palms of the hands and feet and blood. And I just wanted to ask Ion.
Ask it. He's right here.
I went to the hospital like 2 months ago or so. And they're trying to draw blood, and they couldn't. And they called all the phlebotomists and all the nurses on the floor, and they just couldn't. They just couldn't draw blood. And they even called the doctor to try, and it just couldn't happen. So finally, they just decided that they're not going to. They just didn't draw the blood. And
is that because it was too big? It was too grown? Too transcendent?
Well, I don't know what happened. I don't know what happened. That has never happened before.
Well, you're on the drops. But, you're on the drops. You're good. You're our first, person in the field to report the blood effect. Congratulations. Congratulations. You're the first to report.
And they asked me if why I don't bleed, because they got to poke me, but they weren't able to draw blood, but they said I didn't bleed.
You should have got the hell out of there. You would have been arrested pretty soon if they kept probing you.
Yeah, so is that...
How'd you get out of it?
Well, the doctors just decided they were not going to draw blood.
they were going to renege on their duties. They gave up.
Get Dr. Dean.
We're calling Dr. Dean at aisle 5.
Aisle 5, Dr. Dean.
Dr. Bombay.
You got to get Bob out of here. Get Dr. Dean in here, quick.
They called the one phlebotomist, and the one phlebotomist, she said, I'm the one they call it the last resource because I'm famous for being able to draw blood in the first try. And then she wasn't able to do it either.
You were the anomaly.
I unpredicted this.
We didn't work this out. Now, we want to do this for Dr. Dink. So everybody else, hold on just a second. Here's the thing. They will be able to draw blood. The blood that they draw will be different. Now, just like the Nina, the Pinta, and the Santa Maria, the Indians could not see those ships because they had never seen those ships before. Typically, what's going to start happening is they won't see the blood.
Oh.
Okay? That's because
of
the eyes.
Is that why they said that, why I don't bleed?
Correct.
Yeah, they couldn't see it.
Because they couldn't see it, but that's okay. That's a good thing, because what would happen is now you've had a conversation with us regarding it, and you know what to do. Because otherwise, some of the JWs can make the vacuum tubes explode, which is very unusual, and it's not normal, but that's what happens. But he might be the exception, not the rule, but maybe not. But even so, the blood is very different. It's a different shade, a different texture, it's a different, it would be like comparing talcum powder to, talcum powder to ink. It's not the same. You wouldn't even mix them up. Well, the new blood, you won't be able to recognize at all from regular, what you call little man blood.
Oh, okay.
And so, this is the first level. And it's amazing that they would let you go. Typically, when the phlebotomist can't and no one can draw your blood, that's sort of a slap in the face. Even when they got, remember when they got the 12 gauge, the big needle gonna work it out when the little butterflies wouldn't work? And it still didn't work?
No, and they tried on my feet.
They tried everywhere.
Cool. They tried everywhere.
The only way they could have solved it is if they had done it.
Yes. They poked me everywhere, but they weren't able to draw blood.
Good.
Where's Ginny? We should have Ginny go, yay. Where's the yay button?
Yay.
Yay.
Yay, there you go.
That's very good, Noemi. Noemi's the strangest person. She's got a picture of paradise hogging her vision wherever she walks around. Maybe it's not there now, but she had it when she first took the drops. She was transported visually in her retina to another scenario.
And her body, she didn't know not to, so her body responded in kind. No one told her not to, so she went with it, and that's good. Okay, so here's the good news. The good news is that there was a hedge around you regarding this. It's the one we call Dr. Dean. There are going to be those who don't have this hedge. It's going to be a little different conversation because then it's going to cause questions. They're going to have to ask, and they're going to want to research, and they're going to want to know what this is. And then they're going to say, what happened? You were Rh negative. Now you're no longer Rh negative now. Now they cross-type your blood, and they can't cross-type your blood. Then you have the strangest, weirdest A negative ever, 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 but there is no negative anymore. So then they have to do, then you become something. You don't want to go through all that, sugar baby. You don't want to go through all that. It's going to be a little more of a thing. So let's go with this just like this for today. Once this starts and becomes normal, then they'll say, oh, okay, we've seen this before. This is blah. They'll say, here's what they'll call it. In the meme, Bob's in the meme business, they will call this, they'll say, oh, you have the toxicology report came back, and you have what we call is ascended blood.
Oh.
What does that mean? It's a disease. It's anything that's not normal is a disease. So you will suffer from ascended blood. And that's what they'll call it.
They will call it that because they'll know that Dr. Dean talks about ascension, and they're going to smear Dr. Dean. That's their main agenda, so they're going to say, oh, this is Dr. Dean blood. But we call it ascended blood. That's a serious problem, ma'am.
So the suffering, what would be the symptoms?
Oh, there is no symptoms, darling. There's no symptoms at all.
Bliss.
Yeah, calling in, listening to us, taking the drops.
Yeah, cancer doesn't kill people. It's the damn chemotherapy that kills the people, darling.
Yeah, the symptom is being a member of the Dobstown cult.
Now what you're finding, they're changing it up a little bit, thank goodness. They're now embracing it, and they're saying, okay, now they can't. You take this pill, and we make you so you can live with the cancer, and you do just fine. It's happening. It's working. Don't you worry. But we can't work in this world of definitives because once we make the definitives, then you become the standard. You don't want to be the standard, darling. You want to be so busy pleasing the light in yourself you didn't notice.
Yeah, you don't need to go to doctors anymore, Noemi.
No?
I'll please yourself.
Okay,
We didn't say that.
No.
We didn't say
okay,
that. You do whatever you want to do. But just know
there was
you don't
one,
want to.
There was one other thing that happened. There's one other thing that happened is that I went into the doctor because I was having palpitations, and they did all the tests. They did an EKG, and they did an echocardiogram.
Uh-huh.
And the echocardiogram was registering. The technician said, I don't understand why everything's being registered on the screen backwards.
Right.
And she thought I had the... She thought I had the
lead time.
Let her tell her story about the doctor. Her husband.
We want to tell how she was. They're going to find that they thought she was in reverse atheism.
Okay, you wait in line. Finish your story, Noemi. What happened to your husband? You get pissed off?
The technician called another technician. And she said, I need you to look at this. Am I doing something wrong? So he checked out all the, where the leads were placed.
The leads.
I don't know if that's what you call them.
The wires, the leads.
The wires. And he checked everything out, and he said, no, everything's fine. And he's looking at the screen, and he's saying, it is registering backwards. And then they said, she said, the first technician, she said, well, what am I supposed to do? And he said, just print it out and turn it like that. Turn it in like that.
Just turn it in like that. Let them do, hey, pass the buck. Pass the buck. Give it to someone else.
Yeah.
Right now?